Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Very excited. We are going to shortly talk to offense coordinator Dan Enos. Leroy was chatting him up during the break. Do you feel good about this?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, sir.
We go to the Ryan Fields announcers, convenience stores guest line. Truly steps beyond convenient. They will find new Miami Hurricanes offense coordinator Dan Enos. Thanks for the time, coach. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be around with you guys.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. We were all very excited when we got the news that you were coming down, and we immediately had to do the resume search and saw that you were playing at Michigan State, and then we checked the era and we looked at the years and we wondered, did you ever cross paths with our own Leroy Horde? And sure enough, we had to find some box scores, but we were able to find it. And we saw the matchup back in the day, Michigan State. There it was. Were you giving the talk off the air, Leroy?
No, not really. I mean, look, here's how Michigan State game worked. You played Michigan State, you went back to Michigan, you took a shower, and then went party at Michigan State.
Oh, that's shade, Dan.
hey.
There might be some truth to that. I just remember standing on the sidelines in 1989 as a quarterback for Michigan State, and I looked out and saw Leroy standing out there getting ready to get a handoff, and I saw how big he was, and I was like, damn, I'm glad I don't have to tackle him today. That's the first thing. That's the only thing I remember.
Yeah, but Coach, most of it was his pads. He's really not that big.
Hey, man, we wore big equipment back then.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Do you still?
He was big, physical, and he ran hard, and obviously a great player. So I was just glad I didn't have to deal with him.
Do you still check in on those rivalries? Like, because now that you're in the coaching ranks, like, how does that go with loyalty as a coach? Because it's almost like you got to shift gears. You're in the SEC, and now you got to switch, and it's all geared towards Florida State. Like, How do you handle that? Like, do you still hold that ill will towards Michigan from back in the day?
No, I think one thing that you learn as you get older, obviously, you always appreciate rivalries. I mean, that's what makes college football so great. But I really do think that when rivalries are really good, it's when there's a lot of respect for the other program. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, you're going to dig down deep and do everything you can to try to beat people and do all those things. But when the rivalries have respect and, for example, like Michigan, Coach Hembeckler, his last year was 1989, and I was a junior, and the amount of respect that we had for Coach Hembeckler and the way he ran the program in Michigan, obviously we disliked them a lot and wanted to do everything we could to want to beat them, but obviously there was always a respect that you had for that program, the tradition, and then when Coach Mueller and Coach Carr came, same thing, there was just always, it was just a very classy way. I always felt that Michigan went about their business and always had a ton of respect for him.
Coach, I know that you just got to town not too long ago. You haven't had any official practices yet, but what do you think about the athletes that you have in your room on this offense? And I guess eventually we're going to have to talk about this quarterback situation. So,
well, I've been very encouraged. You know, we've had a couple I think it's been three now, on the field workouts. Obviously, we don't have a ball. We don't have football equipment, but you're obviously watching them, you know, go through drills, change direction, accelerate, and you're getting a pretty good assessment of their athletic ability and who can move and do and whatnot. And I've been very encouraged and very impressed. I think we have some explosive players on offense. I think we got some linemen that look big, obviously, but can move their feet and bend and change direction. And the backs look explosive. And so I've been very, very encouraged. I think there's going to be some guys to work with, you know, when you come in. And we're basically installing an entirely new system, so we're starting from scratch doing that as well. And it's been great. The guys have been very eager to learn, and I think they're very excited. And I think Coach Diaz has really done a tremendous job messaging what his standard is and what his expectation level is, not only for the players but for our coaching staff as well. And we've had, I think, some tremendous workouts, and thus far it's been a really, really good offseason.
No. Coach, answer this. I've always wondered, because when kids go to, so for example, if somebody goes to Alabama, okay, they know that, hey, we won without you. So you come in, you fall in the line, you do what's required to you, or you won't get on the field, and it doesn't matter to us one way or another. So usually guys are much, you know, more receptive to doing the things that are required to them get on the football field. Some schools you go to, and I think, and I'm not sure if it's happened here, but some kids come into the university, and it's other universities also, to where they go, I'm the guy, you need me to win. And that attitude that they come into the school with has a negative effect on how they perform on the field. How do you deal with that? Because, you know, it's just sometimes it's just the area of or the place that you're coaching.
You know, that's a great question. It's actually kind of funny because Coach Diaz actually talked about that on Tuesday with the team. And I do think it starts and ends with the culture that you have,
right,
and the head football coach and the staff on what they allow and don't allow. And if you do treat people differently and allow better players to get away with things, obviously I think that is going to create a division on your football team. But Coach Diaz addressed that Tuesday, that same situation that so far you just asked that, and basically said, listen, we're all going to be held to the same standard here. No one's going to be above it or below it, no coach, no player. And if you don't think we can win without you, he's like, think again, because this is Miami, this is the U, and we're going to win football games with or without you. We're going to get the right guys here that want to buy in and do it our way. So I thought, like I said, I think he's done a tremendous job messaging what his standards are and what he expects every day. And, again, that's from him to us as a staff, and then that's going to permeate down on up from us and to our players. And again, like I said, you know, it's the off season. So far, it's been good. But as we go through this grind, you know, adversity hits. Guys get disgruntled, and we got to keep the same standard and the same way of doing things day in and day out.
I think that in itself will take care of probably the next two questions, which are, what are you thinking about the quarterbacks and how are they feeling about their opportunities to play?
Because I think this. You know, I told them all this. I said basically, you know, you all can create a brand new identity because I have no basis of anything of what you've done here since I've been here. And I don't really even ask. I mean, sometimes people offer me their opinions, but I said, I'm going to judge you from what you do from this day forward, being your attitude and your demeanor in meetings, the way you work on the practice field. And ultimately what you do on the field is either going to win or not win you the job. So I told them all that you got a brand new leash on life. I don't have a dog in the hunt or a dog in the race anyway. I'm not attached. I didn't recruit really any of them or anything like that. So, you know, we're going to try to find the best players. They're all going to be given an opportunity to perform. I'm going to do the best job that I can on a daily basis to give them the tools that they need in their toolbox to be successful as a quarterback here. And, again, I'm going to do my very best to give those guys those fundamentals and techniques and the mental approach to it. But ultimately, they're going to have to do the work. They're going to have to compete. And, again, competition really does bring out the best in everybody, man. When you know there's somebody chomping at the heels to take your job from you, that makes you have a bigger sense of urgency and more focus and attention to detail on everything you do. And I think, obviously, right now with our room being wide open, I've seen that attention to detail and that look in their eyes so far. And, obviously, it's going to be, I think, just a really, really fun spring. And obviously into the summer and fall camp, and I think that the guy who ends up winning this job is going to have earned it and going to be a very talented guy.
We're talking to Coach Dan Enos, new offensive coordinator for the Miami Hurricanes. Now, Coach, when we got the news that you were coming here, obviously, I mean, some of the first questions that we had were, I mean, you were at the powerhouse of all powerhouses. I mean, Alabama's on top seemingly year in and year out. Obviously, Miami is you know, college football royalty, especially in our eyes because of their tradition, but what was it about Miami or Coach Diaz that made you want to go from what seems like a sure thing to something that definitely needs some work to get back to where the fans expect it to be?
Well, I think, again, it was Coach Diaz's vision that he laid out for me. You know, his core values and principles on how he wanted to do things were 100% aligned with mine. To be able to look at a sleeping giant, if you will, a place like Miami that I think is on the cusp and has the ability to be a national program and just the challenge of it. And again, what Coach Diaz is building here, the way he's doing it. Obviously, the defensive staff was are pretty much in place, and the amount of respect I had for those guys, and then the offensive staff we've been able to put together. It was just, I think, for my family and I, it was just the right time, the right opportunity. Being in Alabama last year was a tremendous experience. So blessed and honored to be a part of that program and to coach some outstanding young men that I grew as a coach, as a person, as everything, and obviously really appreciate my time there and appreciate everything. But just right now at this time, I just feel like this is a great opportunity and would love to come here and again, do whatever I can to help this program move forward and become, a team that contends for an ACC championship.
All right, Coach. I mean, there's obviously a lot of perks being in South Florida, right? We got pretty good weather. There's athletes everywhere. Also, it's not too far of a drive down to the Keys and old Jimmy Johnson. And you guys had a chance to go see the OG coach a couple of nights ago. What was that experience like?
It was amazing. The stories he told, the details of the coaching, of the of the U, of the Cowboys, and the experiences that he was able to share with us. Some of the questions that he even asked of, Coach Diaz and the rest of us. I mean, it was like you're standing there going, am I really listening to this? But what was really neat about the whole thing was his answer. You could tell he's such a great communicator because I think great teachers make complicated things seem simple. You know what I mean? I think guys that can teach and communicate and get a group of men moving in the same direction, they've got to have that power to communicate their message and their vision and make it into a simplistic form. And when he was talking to us, that's how I felt. Like, he would lay it out, like, this is how I dealt with this, boom, boom, boom. This is how we handled this situation, boom, boom, boom. And it was so clear and concise that you're just like, there's no wonder this guy was as successful as he was. And the other thing that came through loud and clear when he spoke to us was how competitive he is and how much he hates losing and how much he won and enjoyed winning and all the things that it took to win and the stories that he told that backed that up. You could just tell this guy was on fire and the passion that he had to win football games on a day-to-day basis obviously rubbed off on everybody around him in his organization.
Coach, this hashtag TNM, the new Miami, taking off like wildfire. It's everywhere. But, not only is it a fan thing, it really seems like the players are really buying into like kind of a new attitude, new mindset. And that has to go to the offense as well. And I guess fans would love to know, without giving us too much, like we just want to know that there's going to be a nice, exciting offense on that field when Miami takes the field against the Gators.
Well, we sure hope so. I mean, we're going to put together a foundation here in the spring and the summer of an offense that's going to be very multiple within the run game and the pass game. We're going to use motions and shifts and personnel groupings to the best of our ability to try to create communication issues, maybe structural issues for defenses. But we want to be multiple. We want to be diverse. I think great coaches can, first off, got to find out who their best personnel is and put them in position to be successful. So we're going to install the system. We're going to start to tailor it towards the guys that we have based off of backs, wide receivers, tight ends, who our quarterback's going to be, what are the things they can do. But certainly I think that Coach Diaz has already mentioned this, and this is my philosophy, is we want to be very aggressive in what we do and use the ability and talents that we have. And certainly I think in this day and age, one thing that you have to be able to do to be successful against good teams is you have to be balanced. And you got to find a way to be creative and running the ball, and then you got to be able to throw the ball. When you play good defenses, you've got to be able to throw the ball and be good in it, good at it. And I've really challenged our guys to learn the system and learn the details of it, so that any given day that we're going to be good enough that we can go out and win a game throwing the ball, or we can go out and win the game running the ball, whatever we need to do. But that comes with understanding the system, the foundation, and playing with great techniques and fundamentals. But it's going to be a lot of fun. I think our guys are very eager, and I think we have some very talented players.
Coach, what do you think about the idea of a touchdown chain? Do you like to look at that turnover chain, and should you bring it to the offensive side?
That's kind of that's not my expertise, if you will. I I'm not a good one to ask for that. I'm for whatever Coach Diaz wants, and whatever our players is. If it's going to help us score more touchdowns, I'm all for doing whatever.
So, it seemed to help with getting interceptions.
Well, I think that'll be something that our Coach Diaz and our team will decide ultimately. But certainly, I'll be all for it. And like I said, if we're going to score some more touchdowns because of that, then I'll even donate some money towards it so we can get a nice ball.
Oh, there we go. Well, the other cause, coaches. Leroy was a season ticket holder a couple of years ago. Things happened, whatever. Coach, we need to get him back in the stadium. We need to get him back. You know, I know he loves his maize and blue, but we need to get him back wearing some orange and green on Saturdays.
Yeah, he's got to come. He got to come support and help us out. There's no doubt about
that.
The
only thing that happened was my son went away to college. That's it.
Oh, stop it.
That's it. That's it. I wanted to
get back in the building. Let's go.
I had a choice.
Let's get him back in there.
By the way, I had a choice to either go to Dolphins games or Canes games. And he said he wanted to go to Kane's game, so we got Kane season tickets. That's it.
And you're going to do it again.
Before we let you go, Coach, you're a quarterback guy.
Oh, no.
And you're an ideas man.
Oh, God.
I find myself to be an ideas man.
Oh, jeez.
One of the big things that quarterbacks get scrutinized on is their height. And this is happening with Kyler Murray coming into the NFL draft. It feels like everybody's picking on his height. What do you think about?
No.
He'll like this.
No.
What do you think about, Coach, Adidas coming up with some type of platform cleat that ups the height of your quarterback? I feel like in today's technology, this could solve a lot of problems, and all the short quarterbacks would be free and be drafted with no issues.
Coach, feel free to call him an idiot. That's okay.
You know, I won't. That's thinking outside the box, which is usually a really good thing. So there might be something there, but here's what I think. I mean, these guys have proven now over and over again that height doesn't really matter. I mean, Baker Mayfield was the first pick of the draft. I mean, Kyler Murray won the Heisman Trophy. Tua, who I had last year, he was a runner-up, and it's not like he's 6'4". I think he's around a 6-foot guy. Whatever. These guys are playing at such a high level now. I don't even consider height anymore being that big of an issue. These guys find lanes. There's so many different things they can do and be creative with their feet, and guys find ways to make plays and I don't think that height really is that big of a factor anymore. And I think that there's a lot of guys that are seeing through that. You know, Russell Wilson, there's just, it goes on and on in recent memory. These guys that are so-called shorter guys just are so productive and so instinctive. And the arm strength is still there. They got big hands. They got explosive lower bodies. They're able to find room and create space in the pocket and still make all the throws they need to make. So, there's a lot of exciting players that are on the shorter end of that tail right now. So, and I think these guys are being successful not only in college, but it's translating to the NFL as well.
Who knows if he's going to come out next year? But as a lot of Dolphin fans are hyped, is Tua worth tanking for?
You know, somebody else asked me that. I was like, I don't know if anybody's worth that, but he's phenomenal. He's one of those rare guys that he is tremendously gifted, physically gifted. But his character and his work ethic and his intelligence match that. You know what I mean? There's just rare guys you're around like that where this guy, man, has got great arm strength, great foot quickness. But, man, what a great young man. His character, his toughness, his ability to relate and be a great teammate, and how unselfish he is just it's contagious around that football team there. But he is a guy that I think would definitely see you be a guy that you could build a franchise around and be the face of your franchise. In a heartbeat.
Well, we give you another welcome to Miami, Coach. Coach Dan Enos, thanks for the time. Much success this season, and hope we can do it again down the line.
Oh, we'll talk again.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All righty.
Thanks, Coach.
I think you like my idea.
I don't know.
I think he was just being nice.
He just placated you for a second.
No, man, I think he liked it.
No, he didn't like it.
There was a point there where I feel like he was like, huh.
The most animated he got was involving Leroy. He did not want to tackle you.
No, you didn't have to. He's a quarterback.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.